This is the August 21st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 988 for property ID 22986500. The property is owned by Stephen Allen and Holly Mangum. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Holly here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you could raise your right hand right now to be sworn in.
Could I ask you again who else is in attendance?
It is our board members, John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver, but we have no one here from the assessor's office, so it is just the Board of Equalization and myself, the clerk.
Got it. Thank you so much. I've raised my right hand.
Perfect.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions about procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, and you have the materials I submitted previously?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. So, again, this property is in rural northeast Clark County up in Yockel, north of actually the city of Yockel, in a heavily forested rural area. It's at the end of a half-a-mile gravel road. The first quarter mile of the gravel road is not maintained by the county, and is level but not maintained by the county. And all services stop at the paved portion. You go for a quarter of a mile and then down through the forest, steeper down into getting to the actual house, and then you have to cross there's a pond with a culvert, and so you have to cross over that, which sometimes floods when it's really, really bad. We have provided an estimate from M&T Construction for repair of the road and culverts. I contacted them before this hearing, that was in my statement, and confirmed with them that just adjusting for inflation, they would still honor that estimate that they provided. In addition, the property is heavily forested, but it is forested in alder. And they provided an estimate for handling the alder as well as maintaining the forest that is currently here. The property is FR40. It's over 53 acres total. And so they provided that estimate, and again said they would honor it accounting for inflation, so that was factored into my statement. The house itself, we have not done any improvements, and we have not done any property improvements so far. And so that is still identified in my statement. When I contacted the county back in 2016 about it, they provided an estimate that was sent. I don't know if they provided it to the board or how it got. I think it came through the board. But they provided an estimate, and they have never provided anything further to me, so I have just indexed that also for inflation. I provided three comps that are in rural areas. Comp number one has been totally remodeled, and I attached pictures of it, a very large property. There's two tax lots with the merchantable timber on it. And then the second property I personally went and saw, it was owned by a real estate agent, has 20 agricultural acres. But I personally toured that house, and it has a almost like an ADU in the bottom of it, a daylight basement that's all finished high-end material. Very nice. And then number three was zoned FR40, but I don't think it has that many acres, but it is zoned that way. So very hard to find comps of either square footage or large acreages, because everything keeps getting chopped up smaller and smaller, and or in this rural part. And so when the assessor in previous years, they did not do this year, but in previous years, they've always tried to compare us over to Ridgefield, where everything is paved, more level, and much smaller acreages. And so it doesn't really compare to the north part. So that three comps that I provided are there. In addition to that, I submitted pictures and information on the materials. I had pictures of the three comparable materials that they used in their houses. And this one is more of a facade. So the inside is more cut up. The only kind of, I guess, better finishes are there's some stonework and hardwood flooring downstairs. Everything upstairs is carpeted. And there is linoleum, vinyl linoleum on the floors in the bathrooms upstairs. There is formica on the counters. And the tub enclosures are just one-piece tub enclosures. There's no tiling, no fancy anything. The cabinetry is all just the wood facade on the outside. It's chipboard. It keeps pulling out, breaking, falling apart. So none of that has been updated or upgraded. We just keep gluing it. The part over the garage, so the square footage of the house is not exactly correct, because the portion over the garage, which I provided a square footage amount in my testimony, is not finished. I've given some pictures of that. It just has walls, but it has no flooring or no trim work or anything like that, and we have not updated it. So it remains as you see in the pictures. And I think that is, I covered everything, unless you have any questions for me.
I don't have any questions.
Right here, I just have a couple questions on the outbuildings and all that you have there. You have an arena and a garage and some other outbuildings. Are they all usable in decent repair, or what are they?
One that is not the arena, the other one has, that one is usable. And then the arena one is usable, but it has, during one of the ice storms, that it had, all of the gutter pulled away from the roof and all collapsed. So that caused some damage. And I do not have an estimate to repair that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is the property used for anything other than the timber on the sonnet?
No, we have some, like the kids have a pony and some horses, but they just stay up around the house.
So the barn is usable for the horses, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions on that. So.
No, I don't either.
And if, do we have a picture of your property anywhere in here? I don't think we do.
It's on the GIS. I did have pictures of the road and then pictures of some of the exterior and some of the interior.
Got it. Yeah. When you have pictures of some of the comps there, when you provide pictures of comps, you need to have similar pictures of your property to, you know, so we can compare it, true comparison.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't have any further questions.
I did provide the supplementary documentation that shows the comparison of like the square footage and all of, you know, the
right.
That's good.
We have that. Okay. I have nothing further.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Lisa, anything else from John and Lisa?
No other questions.
Okay. I don't have anything else.
Great.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Close hearing.
This is the August 21st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 854 for property ID 98604-3894. The property is owned by Allison and Ryan Mackinson. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Ryan here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. No, I think all questions, I think it's fairly clear, so I appreciate everybody's time today. And so the reason for my appeal and kind of what precipitated all this was, I mean, obviously the biggest investment most families have is their primary residence. In going through the process of building this, super excited to be in Camas. Part of what changed for us here was the commercial property that was built abutting my property line, and in sense created an impairment on the property itself. So we are in active litigation with the owner of the property, who put 38 tons of HVAC on the leading edge of the property. And that noise cascades down into Steve and Karen Smith, the adjoining property, who's also gone through this process. We are under active litigation. We did commission a noise study through Listen Acoustics. That study determined that my property specifically, my wife and our property here, that we are 93% of the time we are outside of the Washington Department of Energy noise guidelines for satisfactory noise abatement from those HVAC units. And the other impairments to the property really are around light pollution and visual impairment. They went and raised the level of the lot at the top of my property line by over 6 feet, and then put a 34-foot high two-story medical office building. And so, you know, my argument is the value of my property has been severely impacted in that I'm directly center of that commercial building, and that commercial building towers over my property. And so it would stand to reason for me that, you know, anybody looking to buy a house, if they were looking at a comparable house of size and magnitude, that my house would not net the same in the open public square. So, you know,
Did you mention there's two buildings now?
There is another building that is being put in, but it's completely blocked from my perspective. I don't see that secondary building.
I talked to you previously. He said, but just go.
It is a medical grade building. So today it's occupied by a periodontist. There's Affinity Custom Homes is in there. There's a skincare place. So the operations of the building itself are typically 8 to 5, but there is security, lighting, and other things that do impact the building even after the tenants are effectively gone.
Have you talked to the assessor's office about this, and did you show them the study that you had done? Or
you know, the study has been, when I originally filed for this, we had not gone through the study, but I have not brought this report to the assessor's office because we're in active litigation with the owner of the building.
Well, you could still bring it to the assessor's office attention. They might be more willing. I'm just thinking, even if we were able to make an adjustment this year, they're going to go right back to next year. But I thought if you provided them with the study, that might give some weight, give more weight to it.
Sure, and I'm happy to do that. I know Steve and Karen Smith, my neighbors, have gone through this process to have their property designated as impaired. And I know they actually, Steve and Karen, commissioned the study, and we just helped fund it, the other neighbors that are impacted by those units. But it's a, I think the best, I mean, the visual representation that I try to provide, try to give some perspective, I think, on the oddness of where those units are placed. And that was part of the challenge I had in trying to find comparable properties in Clark County, was where are there properties that abut commercial development at that scale with the same type of, you know, not only visual, light, and noise impairments, right? I really struggled to find comparable properties.
Did the assessor send you the copy of their response to your appeal? Did you receive that?
I don't believe so, no.
And had an attachment where they gave comps, all of which were, I don't know if Allison could put it up on the screen, but they were all, one was 876 feet away from you, one was 471 feet away from you. I don't know if one of those might be Stephen Karen Smith's property, and the other one was 2,500 feet away from you. But they all sold in 22.
Yeah, and all those, I think most of those lots, I mean, there's only really 3 to 4 houses that are impacted by this commercial building. I believe all of the other properties in question have normal lines of sight out there, out of their backyard, out of their front yard. Right,
we're
our house kind of blocks the building from everybody else.
There's somebody located at 3623 Northwest McMaster, 474 feet away from you. Or 471 feet away from you. I just wondered how they were situated with a building. It's comp number 3 on the screen.
Sure, and I'm familiar with that property. That property is significantly away from mine. Their backyard backs up to green space, and their front yard, they are effectively so far from the building. I don't even think they have a line of sight from inside their residence to the commercial building itself.
Okay. So you're on the same street, just further one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing was the day we poured our foundation is the day that foundation went in at that commercial building, and I sat at the top of the hill and just shook my head because at that point there's nothing that we can do to really change the trajectory of the money that we had put in to our primary residence. You know, to back out of the project at that point is silly.
Those trees that show up in the picture, are those on your property or on the?
Those are all trees that I have planted with the hope that in 5 to 7 years, the visual impairment will be completely obscured by two layers, effectively, of trees.
Yeah.
It looks like the building is real close to the property line, isn't it?
It is. And I've had discussions with the city of Camas, not only about their lack of notification to property owners of record, but the argument that even if they notified us, there was nothing that anyone could do because it met all of the city of Camas's guidelines for residential and commercial, you know, coexistence, I guess. And so I talked to Robert Mall at the city at length multiple times, and it's frustrating because those, like the HVAC units themselves, 38 tons of HVAC, they don't show up in the city's plans. They were just placed there by J.H. Kelly, the builder. And most times, like, there's another, the other commercial pad that exists up there when the building is currently being made, those specs call for those HVAC units to be on the roof to avoid any impairment to the nearby residential properties. So, you know, I think it's just luck of the draw from a, what the builder decided to do, and now that's having adverse effects to all of the adjacent property owners.
Do you know
is there a parking lot in there?
Address is?
I'm sorry.
Do you happen to know what Steve and Karen Smith's address is?
Sure. They're right to the left of my house in that picture, so they're one over. Yeah, that's their house right there.
So it's 3524.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so you can see, the adjacent parking lot that's in front of the building. that ultimately casts a pretty decent shadow. So I get the shadow from the building, and then I get those wonderful lights, the stadium lights that cascade down. There's probably a delta from the base of my backyard to the top of the hill of my property line of probably 15 to 20 feet in height. Then they raised the level of that lot by putting, you can see in those pictures I submitted, the two building blocks where they raised the level of the land and then put a 34-foot high building on top of it. It was not the original plan that was shared with me by the real estate agent that sold us the property. And the irony is her husband is the developer. So all of this is a sad circumstance. I'm just looking for some relief in the fact that I don't even feel I could sell my house at market rate, because anybody that comes and looks at it is going to instantly walk in the backyard and just say, oh my gosh, that is insane what the city did.
So you knew this was commercial property when you bought your house, bought your property, and you knew that that was being constructed there. You just thought the configuration was different.
Yeah, the original development plan for that commercial plot was shared with us, and it had that building not residing anywhere near the property line. And so from a visual standpoint, I thought, oh, if we mitigate it with some trees, that building will be so far into the lot, we'll have some parking lot that's there, and that will be completely acceptable. But that original, in fact, I have some photos. Let me just see if I can show you very quickly. So the original plot had the buildings, the commercial buildings, I can unblur my background. That will probably help significantly. But effectively, the original plan that was submitted to the city itself had the commercial buildings actually set significantly off the plot lines. And so that was the information that we were going by when we made a decision to purchase the land itself.
All right.
You know, and so unfortunately, that changed, and changed without the ability to really argue it in a public forum.
Okay.
Yeah, got it. All right. Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you. I appreciate everybody's time today. I know we're coming right up on the 15-minute mark. Are there any other questions or follow-up things that I can help add some clarity to? Were the pictures effective in kind of highlighting the challenge and the impairment that we're
discussing? I think we get a good picture from what you gave us.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. And so you mentioned there's like about a 30-day process.
Yeah, within 30 days, you'll get a written response from this board.
Okay. All right. Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time today. I do appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the August 21st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 991 for property ID 21980100. The property is owned by NVR LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one here from the assessor's office and no one here from the appellant. We do have Joellen Jarvis, who did appraise this property as a witness and spectator. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Just so you know that we don't have you listed as a registered agent, but you did do the appraisal, and so I'll let you make comments on your appraisal. You will not be sworn in as an official appellant testimony, so but you can tell us about your appraisal.
Okay. Well, I was asked to do the appraisal. The assessed value for 2023 was $1,125,132. The property is zoned for low-density residential development. However, it was when they did the subdivision, they had designated this piece as a common area. Because of the topographical, because of the slopes. So it's all, it has a lot of very steep slopes between 20 and 80% over most of the site. About 5% of it is encumbered by a stormwater easement, which would be where the only level ground is for the most part. So the idea, the subdividing the property wouldn't be physically possible into small lot subdivisions. And so the way that I appraised it was assuming that it would support one home site, most likely. There's two options for a home site. One of them is at the top of the hill, and I had appraised the property for the estate a couple of years back, two or three, 2021, I believe. And at that point, they had done an engineering study on what it would take to create a building site on the slope. And they had estimated it at that point at about $114,000, I believe. Yes. So I used that number because I didn't have any better numbers since the 2021 study that was made. I did increase it by 4% a year because prices, you know, construction prices between 2021 and 2023 increased really more than 4%, but I used 4% as an inflation factor. So to get a building site on there, I was estimating that $125,000 worth of additional work above a typical home site would be required. So the comparables that I found were oversized sites, and I was trying really hard to find oversized sites that were close in. I found three that were had questionable development potential. The first one is located to the north. It says Ridgefield, but it's actually closer to List Center. But it is a 5.65-acre site that also has really steep slopes. I talked to the agent, and he said that in order to put a building site on there, it would also require some significant money. They didn't have cost estimates, but they said that they were prepared to put in a lot of money to make it happen. So I thought that was a reasonable comparison, even though it's only 5.65 as opposed to 16 acres. The second one is similar to that over in Washougal. It's a very steep slope. According to the agent, a developer bought it thinking that he might be able to do something with it if he put enough money into it. So that was the second one. The third comparable is level, but it's encumbered by 10 acres of it's encumbered by a power easement, and the buildable portion is towards the back. So it's a better lot, and I did make the subtract the 125 from that because you wouldn't have to put in the dollars in order to make the building site. For the excess land, I used 50% of kind of normal farmland at 10,000. So I used 5,000 an acre for the sloped excess land because you can't do much with it. You can't, you know, ride horses on it or anything. That was the basis of how I came up with the number. So, and this is making the assumption that you could put one home site on it. Like I said, it's very steeply sloped, and it's going to be an issue in order to do that. So anybody looking at it is going to need to be prepared for environmental studies and everything else that goes along with it. So my range of value after all of that was between 175 and 204,083, and I hit kind of the middle at 185.
And the county has it valued at $1,125,000.
Yeah, I think they didn't look, they looked more at the zoning and the size, and I don't think they took into account the topography.
So, yeah, so it looks like the request that we had or the original filing, the owner was thinking it was worth $500,000, and we're at $185,000. So you're saying the whole 15 acres would be worth a total of $185,000?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And that's just south of that mobile home park, right off of, as you're going into Ridgefield. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, part of it on the other side is where they put the new subdivision, and there's some nice houses through there.
Right.
And typical lots are, you know, what, 175-ish? Let me see. Yeah, 160 to 235 when I did the search, but most of them were kind of in that 175 for just a standard lot over there. So I was kind of using that as a benchmark also whenever it came into it.
Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
Yeah. Nor do I.
I'm curious, could I ask, so who was it that said it was worth $500,000?
When they filed their appeal to the board, they've got it on here that, you know, their estimated value, the owner's estimated value was $500,000.
Huh, I don't know who would have put that in.
Maybe they did that before they had the appraisal. And did you do
your... Yeah, it's got that Robert Jervin's name down at the bottom, so that must be their estimated value at that time. You're thinking smart. Perhaps maybe there was more than one home site on it? I don't know.
Well, your appraisal was done in July. When did they file this appeal? November 2nd.
Yeah, so it's owned by an LLC, and he signed it as a member of the LLC, so...
Yeah.
He did it several months before you did your appraisal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I had talked to the city about options on, you know, where they could put a building site, and it was you couldn't get a straight, you know, a definitive answer because they want to see. They said, you know, bring me what you got and we'll look at it kind of a thing. But they did say that it's going to have issues in order to put a building on it. Which I think is why they put the, you know, why they made it the common area whenever they did Hillhurst subdivision.
I'm guessing he put $500,000 on it because last year it was valued at $487,000, so
probably
he just put it on there as a estimate based on the prior year.
Okay.
You know what the sales history around there has been? Was this part of the property that was used in the development, or has this been purchased since then? Do you know?
No, it has the name Hillhurst Subdivision on it. So whenever they made the subdivision, this was kind of the excess land that wasn't developable.
Okay, so they couldn't include it in the master development when they developed it. So ultimately, right, those pieces of property tend to get turned over to a homeowners association.
Yeah, they're using it for the stormwater, but that's the only thing that they've been able to do anything with it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Thanks. Thank you.
This is the August 21st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 990 for property ID 19219700, and the property is owned by Old Castle Glass, Inc. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for the board review. Since no one is in attendance, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Right.
Close the hearing.
This is the August 21st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 1020 for property ID 11018454. The property is owned by Zhujan and Judy Zhu. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The property was purchased for $413,000 in December 2023. The assessor's evidence included a property information sheet and a cover letter recommending the assessed value be reduced to $413,000. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.